Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 5, Chapter 12, Text 12. Shravan, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 32, Bookcase. Hanuman. 7, 5, 32. Okay, so. Rahoganai tatapasa na jati. Na chejaya nirva panad grahadva. Na chandasa naiva jaladni suryair. Vina mahat pada rajo vishekam. Rahoganai tat tapasa na yati. Na chejaya nirva panad grahadvai. Na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair. Nina mahat pada rajo bishekam. Rahogana.
Oh, King Rahugana.
Etat. This knowledge. Tapasa. By severe austerities and penances. Nayati. Does not become revealed. Na. Not. Cha. Also. Ijaya. By great arrangement for worshipping the deity. Nirvapanat, or from finishing all material duties and accepting sannyas. Grahat, from ideal householder life. Va, or na, nor. Chandasa, by observing celibacy, or studying Vedic literature. Na eva, nor. Jala agni suryai. By severe austerities, such as keeping oneself in water, or in a burning fire, or in the scorching sun. Nina, without. Mahat, of the great devotees. Padarajaha, the dust of the lotus feet. Abhishekam, smearing all over the body. Translation. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Report. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee, anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma janavritam. By the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth. Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. No one can understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, celibacy. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. This is one of those many Bhagavatam verses that says, points to the conclusion of methodology for realizing the absolute truth. And it's not, Prabhupada, the language is very explicit, it's not by simply following the Vedas. So why study the Vedas and why follow the Vedas? Because that's not going to bring me to the goal. It doesn't say that one shouldn't study the Vedas. It doesn't say that one shouldn't pursue the goal through the agency of theistic conduct found within the Vedas. It doesn't say that. Some people say that. Why have any... Lots of people say lots of things. Why have any teachings? The truth is within you, and find the truth. Find your own truth. Or you don't need regulations to go to spontaneous bhakti. Or it's, people, so many people say so many things. So that it's not, this is not saying don't follow these beneficial activities. The way that Prabhupada has translated the verse, he goes through brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. It's not by simply following according to the codes of the Vedas, the duties within a particular ashram. Doesn't mean don't follow duties within a particular ashram. But it's not by that alone. That's the point. Wet wood becoming dry wood is not sufficient. The purpose of the dry wood is to ignite the dry wood to get fire. And the igniting of the dry wood to get fire comes from the mercy of a pure devotee. That's the message. And the language, the specific language, is not just the mercy of a pure devotee. The specific language is Mahat Pada Raja Abhishekam. You know what Abhishek is? We use that term in terms of bathing of the deity. We have the pujari does daily Abhishek, or when we have festival days we perform Abhishek. Krishna Janmashtami, we have Abhishek of Krishna, bathing ceremony. So here it's the translation is smearing all over the body, Abhishek. Smearing what? Smearing Pada Raja. Pada Raja is, Raja is dust from the Pada. Of whom? Mahat. Mahat Pada Raja Abhishekam. In this verse there's lots of nas. Not this, 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 not. So it doesn't mean those things, just saying it one more time, those things are useless. It does mean those things on their own can't give, they cannot bear the fruit. That which makes the wet wood to dry wood isn't discarded. But the igniting of the dry wood is necessary. And that igniting is bhakti, and bhakti is awakened by association or the mercy. That's how it's one only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. Then the first, that's the last sentence. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed by anyone, by a pure devotee. So that's the positive. Then there's the negative. You can't get the goal just by observing rituals and procedures. In the word for word, chandasa, unpacking that, Prabhupada gets observing celibacy or studying of Vedic literatures. Well, that's something that any ashram is to do, particularly if the sacrifice of the Brahmacharya ashram, the sacrifice of the hearing process, studying of the scriptures, or maintaining celibacy. But that maintaining of celibacy is for any of the ashrams as well. So, study of the scripture. And then, jala, the third line, jala, agni, suryai. Jala means water, agni means fire, and suryai is the sun. So, it's just saying the word water, fire, and sun, because that's one of the procedures for severe austerity, that of taking bath in a cold winter, freezing cold water. Yeah, one of those picture books of India. There's a picture of a yogi at the mouth of the Ganga, Gangotri, and all around is ice and snow, and he's got a big beard, and his beard is floating on the surface of the water, and his whole body is immersed in the water, except his face and his floating beard. Who knows how long he stays there? It's not like a dip. He's, you know, he does his tapasya. Thinking of a story, I forget the name of the personality. He's a king and his minister. And
Akbar and Birbal?
I don't know.
I've seen the lamp.
Yeah. Akbar was the king and his minister was?
Birbal.
Birbal. Okay. So they're walking along and having a discussion, and again, exactly how the rest of it goes also, that there is some discussion. What will a man not do for money? And something like the king said, he won't immerse himself in this freezing cold water for money. Birbal said, oh yes, he will. So he found some man who agreed to spend the night immersed at night in the freezing cold water of the river and just stay there. And if he could do that, he'd get some money, gold or whatever. And so he did it. And then the king asked the poor man, how'd you do this? How are you able to bear the cold? He said, there was a lamp in a distant place, and I was fixing my attention on the lamp in a distant place. That's how I was able to do it. And the king said, oh, you cheated. Because you took heat from the lamp, although in a distant place, that kept your body warm, and so I'm not going to give you the money. And Birbal thought the king was cheating, not the man was cheating. And so Birbal didn't go to court, go to attend to the king. He stayed home. And the king needed his assistance, so he sent a messenger, ask Birbal, why has he not come? Or maybe even he came, and Birbal, why have you not come? And he said, I'm cooking. Tell the king, I'm cooking. How long did it take you to cook? Well, he put the pot 6 feet up in the air and the flame down here, and you know, it's going to take quite a while. And the king could understand what his message was and gave the poor man his reward. Hare Krishna. Something like that. Jala Agni Suryair. So, at least my understanding of those that do those severe things, it's to bring the mind to the position of tolerating the demands of the senses. Because material condition is the mind responding to the demands of the senses. And the more you indulge the senses by the mind contemplating the demands of the senses and then thinking, feeling, willing, then doing, you know, the check upon the senses is lost because of contemplating. And so it's a negative. It's mechanical. By some severe and artificial means, restrain the mind from being attended to the demands of the senses. And by negation, supposedly one can reach the position of neutrality, and in neutrality then you're transcendent because you've conquered material desire, at least, you know, the appetite of the senses to feel comfortable and climate control. And so a fire all around in the middle of the summer, and you know, in the heat of the sun plus the fire, and very hot, and just staying there purposefully, increasing the heat in the summer, purposely increasing the cold in the winter. To that, this is according to Bhagavad Gita's teaching, this is austerity, the mode of ignorance. And one is supposedly going to become a transcendentalist by austerity, the mode of ignorance, parching the elements of the body. But yogis were able to do that. You know, so in part it's not just the severity of the sense being exposed to pain or difficulty, is the control of the mind, and ultimately to that fire of concentrated mind, then one can sustain life in a balanced position. But, you know, an ordinary person can't do those things. So the message here is, minus devotional service, which comes about from the association of a devotee, or the mercy of a devotee, here specifically referred to as the dust from the feet of the devotee, then one cannot realize the absolute truth. Etat is the Rahugana, etat. So etat, he's just given this whole Bhagavatam class to Rahugana. And so Rahugana, this knowledge, you said before you couldn't understand, you can't understand without the mercy of a devotee. And all the good things that you might do, or anybody might do, in any ashram, any situation of life, it doesn't entitle one to understand etat, this knowledge, the absolute truth. There's this, how many of you have been to Vrindavan? How many of you, when you've been to Vrindavan, have been to Ter Kadamba? Ter Kadamba is a place where Rupa Goswami stayed. It's a place, he stayed in a place where Krishna had wonderful exchanges with Radharani. Kadamba is a type of tree. And it's the ter Kadamba is very near Nandagram. Nandagram is the place where Nanda Maharaj resided, and at the end of the day of Krishna's pastimes with the cowherd boys, he would go to this grove of Kadamba trees, and he would climb one of the Kadamba trees and call the groups of cows by playing upon his flute. And they would hear their group's name just from the sound of Krishna's flute, and they would moo, and their tails would wag, and they'd come running to go to the goshal, because it's the end of the day. So that's one of the pastimes that Krishna performed at Ter Kadamba. And another is, Ter Kadamba is somewhere in between, not exactly midway, but between Nandagram, where Krishna resided, and the place where Radharani resided with Abhimanyu, called Yavat. So he would climb a Kadamba tree and he'd call Radha and with her gopi friends so they could come and enjoy with him. So that place, this grove of Kadamba trees, survived the pillaging of the local people, materialistic local people. So there's some grove of Kadamba trees there still. And Rupa Goswami made his residence because of the spiritual significance of the place. And at that place, there's very sweet and beautiful deities of Krishna Balaram. And on the above the altar, it's kind of a little smaller than our altar, but above the altar, there's this poem or stanza of glorification of Rupa Goswami written by Raghunath Das Goswami, saying, I take some straw within my teeth and pray that birth after birth I may simply get some dust from the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. Something like that. It's a nice four lines. Raghunath Das understood as the Jadbharat is saying, and similarly as Prahlad Maharaj says, the 7th canto, chapter 5, verse, text 32, often referred to in Prabhupada's lectures and in the Bhagavatam. The last two lines, Mahiyasam padarajobhishekam nishkinchananam na nrita yavat. Here's the whole verse. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, this nikinchana, Vaishnav, completely free from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way, can one be freed from material contamination. Now, Prahlad is speaking that to his dear father, Hiranyakashipu, who freaks out when he hears him speak like that. Because he's identified him as a materialistic person. And the only way you're going to get free from that is to take the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Mahiyasam comes from the same root of, as Mahatma, same as in this one, Mahat. Mahiyasam Padaraja Abhishekam. Nishkinchana Nam, of the devotees who have nothing to do with this material world. Na Vinita Yavat. So, unless they accept this position, materialistic people are just going to continue being materialistic people. Social activism isn't going to work. I don't know if they're going to like that at the University of Texas, but... So, Jad Bharat is being very merciful. He is speaking what he has never spoken before. But he's being merciful to Rahugana. And, my dear Rahugana, you won't be able to understand all this unless, whatever are the good things you do, without the mercy of a pure devotee. This kinchana nam. Navraniti avat. So, any discussion? We're ready. Do we have the microphone ready?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Kind of like this verse so much after while reading the purport along with you, like, you know, a couple of thoughts came to my mind. As you said, Maharaj, this verse is very so strong, like, to refer in all places. Like, it doesn't even say it's just the importance of pure devotee, but the importance of the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. So I was just, the thought came to my mind is, that's why, like, we say, like, impersonalism and paramatmadi, like, you know, the realization of, their realization is, like, impartial, like, partial.
You're speaking too fast, I can't follow you.
Okay, talk
slowly. Then don't go do the whole thing all over again, please.
Yeah.
Just speak the last part more slowly. You got a little excited and I couldn't hear you clearly.
You know, because of the last line in the verse which says, Vina Mahat Pada Raja Abhishekam,
yeah.
That one reason that how it's more important that Bhakti Yoga, because this is the one that we get it in that last absolute, what we follow, absolute, in the three realization, the last one, what...
Last one means the verse before this one?
No, the realization of the absolute truth, we have like three variety, Brahma,
okay.
Adipana.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how this, the last one differs because of the last line of this verse, which we can experience, which we have the opportunity to do this part of the verse in that realization.
You're saying that part of the Yogi Shekha is unique to Bhakti Yoga.
That was easy. Okay.
Yeah. That's a thought I was like, you know,
okay.
Getting, so I can use it for that one.
It's Bhakti exclusive.
Yeah.
They got a franchise on it.
Yeah, the other thought was just went off my head.
Okay.
So sorry.
What else? Anyone else? Yes.
It seems rare that one can actually smear their body with the dust of the lotus feet of a Mahatma.
Yeah, so what to do?
Yeah, I mean, how many devotees actually got Prabhupada's dust or get their spiritual master's dust? So, is that, can it be taken figuratively or is it actual, literally?
It's both. The dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee comes through sound. The other is also literal. We're not barred through sound. But, you know, the indication is also a mood. The mood of abject submission to that sound or to the person, to the feet of that person. Right? That's the... You with me? Because the feet being the lowest part of the body, and I'm at the lowest part of the body of this exalted person, I'm at their feet. So that's, you know, humility and submission. And in that mood, one can take the dust from the feet, one can hear the messages of such a pure devotee. Then it gets into this, you know, does it require physical presence? As in the case of diksha, it requires physically hearing mantra, not, you know, remote, something distant. Follow? For example, in our the model of ISKCON is it's a worldwide organization, and it's not possible, even during Prabhupada's time and in the current time frame, not possible that Prabhupada would physically be there to give initiation to everybody, so it was done through the mail. Then when it came to Gayatri Mantra, it was necessary to hear the Gayatri Mantra. And so he would make a recording. Or in some cases he had the authorization of someone to speak the mantra on his behalf. But one has to physically hear the mantra. So in other words, I can't become the Diksha disciple of Prabhupada remotely. It's the physical presence. Guru Govinda Maharaj makes, you know, fantastic and very adamant point about this. The current link and directly hearing. So it's specifically in terms of mantra. Mantra Diksha, Gayatri Mantra. One has to hear. Okay, how are we doing? Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, you have something. Give that young man the microphone.
Maharaj, I'm taking Adventist today. Tomorrow there will be a lot of devotees over here. I have a question. May not be fully related to subject matter today.
I'm ready.
We often follow the instruction of Rupa Goswami, which is Anukulasya.
Anukulyena.
Anukulyena. Trying to avoid the bad association as much as possible when we recognize it through signals.
That's not what anukulyena means. Oh, okay. Okay.
So it also applies to the subtle body internally, where the mind has so many mappings.
But even anukulyasya sankalpa, that's accepting. It's not rejecting bad association. Anukulyasya sankalpa is accepting those things that are favorable to bhakti. Pratikulyasya varshanam is what you're speaking about.
Yes, correct.
Just a detail, but I get your point. Okay.
So, when through the light of Krishna, when we recognize, okay, this thought has sprouted, and then it's going to lead to, it is a bad association by associating with the thought, and then it's going to burn some time.
Got it. So now what? Where's the brake pedal?
I forgot now.
Huh?
I lost my question, Rash.
Oh. You'll remember tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.